So let's begin with John chapter 14, and let's read verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells," listen, "with you and will be in you. For he dwells with you and will be in you." Now, if you go to the right, just a few pages, go to Acts chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled." They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can we say amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that the word is communicated in anointing, power, and with accuracy. And Lord, I pray that we receive your word. We hear your word today, Lord. And God, work in us this revelation of the Holy Spirit in and upon us, I pray. And bless each one who will hear this, even in the future, online or wherever they may listen, Lord. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody can shout, amen. 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 If you go to the left again in your Bible, back to John chapter 20, something interesting happens in chapter 20, verse 19 of the Gospel of John. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled," this is after the resurrection of Jesus, "for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them." Think about this. "He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" After the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus had already taught them in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit has been with them, but he said there's coming a day when he's going to be in you. Then in John chapter 20, after the resurrection of Jesus, he gathers the disciples in this upper room, he breathes on them, and then says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, some believe that that was a symbolic, maybe like prophetic act that he did in anticipation of the day of Pentecost. But I actually believe that he literally breathed in them the Spirit of God. I believe he actually breathed in them the Spirit of God, and they received the Spirit at that moment. That's my belief. And then in Acts chapter 2, they gather in an upper room after Jesus had gone to heaven and left them. He gathers them in an upper room. He told them, he said, "Gather in the upper room, stay there and do and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." And so they go and they gather in this upper room and they pray, and then the Holy Spirit fills them all. So we have a breathing in and a coming upon. A breathing in and then a filling. Can somebody shout amen? Amen? So I want to take time this morning and look at the Holy Spirit's role within the believer. Within the believer. And many of you are new to the faith, and this will be awesome for you to hear this. Many of us who've been doing this for a long time, it's awesome for us to hear it and be reminded of this truth again about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So either way, it's going to be refreshing, I believe, for you this morning. So the Holy Spirit comes within the believer to bring about the work of salvation and produce fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit comes within the believer, to bring about the work of salvation and produce the fruits of the Spirit. And then the Spirit comes upon the believer to endue the believer with power to do mighty works. The Spirit comes upon the believer to endue the believer with power to do mighty works or supernatural works. Can somebody shout amen? So let's break this down into two ways this morning. First of all, let's talk about the Holy Spirit within. So the Holy Spirit is involved. Holy Spirit is part. Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. We believe God is Trinity, and it's a mysterious subject, but God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He exists in a Trinitarian relationship. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we've called historically three persons, though the term person is probably not the best translation or accurate description, but nonetheless, we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, but yet we can't say they're one in the degree that they are each other. There is a distinction made in Scripture. Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak of me and glorify me. And so there is a separation here, but a complete oneness. And in Scripture, all three are worshiped as God. And all three are given designations as God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's really interesting. I was reading this book given to me by a friend, a little book on the Trinity, and it was really profound because this guy was talking about how the Trinity exists in a love relationship. And that unless there's another, unless there's something distinct from you, you really don't know how to love. And so the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have existed eternally in a relationship of perfect love. And so the Father loved creation and sent His only Son to die for us, expressing His perfect love for us. Can you say amen? And then the Holy Spirit comes. And when Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit, He used personal pronouns. He didn't say, when it comes, this mysterious force will do this or it will do this. No, He said, when He comes, He will lead you and guide you into all truth, and He will not speak of His own, but He will glorify me. So personal pronouns were used of the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. Now here's what's interesting, is the Holy Spirit is within the heart of the believer, but yet the Holy Spirit moves, and He comes upon, and He fills, and He convicts, and He leads and guides. Years ago, I was in a worship service in our church plant in Washington, D.C., and I was in this service, and I was standing near the front on one of the first two rows, and I was just worshiping as the worship team was doing the music that morning. And I was just kind of a normal Sunday worshiping the Lord, but then I just felt the presence of the Spirit like He was standing next to me. And I got up and I grabbed the microphone and I said, folks, this sounds weird. I know the Spirit is within us, but it's like I could just feel Him standing next to me this morning. And when I said that, an older gentleman in my church got up and ran out. Now, we didn't have a large church, so it's really noticeable to see this guy run out. And this guy had been raised in a denominational church that didn't believe in the manifestations of the spiritual gifts that we'll talk about today or anything like that. But God really used this guy. God gave him dreams. God showed him things. And after the service was over, I found out why he ran out. His wife's name was Linda. And he said all during the worship service, he kept hitting his wife. And he said, Linda, do you see that man standing next to Pastor Hans? Do you see him? Isn't that wild? He had actually seen something in the Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit. And here I am feeling it, and I'm thinking, this is a strange thought, but I feel like the Spirit's standing right next to me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, say it with me. The Holy Spirit is real. He is a person, and he's God himself. So what happens when we hear the gospel preached, or when God calls us through some other form? The gospel is the primary way. But when God calls us, he calls us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and knocks on our door. And he speaks. And he gets into our heart. And he starts touching us and calling us. It's my belief that you can say no to that calling and turn him away and resist, because the Bible warns us about resisting the move of the Holy Spirit. Not to do that. Don't quench the Spirit of God. But when God calls, he knocks, he starts pulling at your heart, he starts opening your eyes to the reality of a better life. He opens your eyes to the love of God. He opens your eyes to the truth of who Jesus is. And it is absolutely phenomenal when God does that. I wasn't raised in church, and many of y'all have heard my testimony, but when God came and spoke to me in a hospital room when I was 16 years old, it was the Holy Spirit coming, visiting me in the hospital and knocking on my heart, telling me, Hans, there's a better life. There's a better way. And it was like the lights came on in my heart. And I realized there is a better way. And then I started pursuing him and what that was knocking on my heart's door. And I fully surrendered to him. Hallelujah. So what, when the Spirit, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So the Spirit draws us to the heart of God. And then when we open our hearts, the Spirit comes in and brings about the work of redemption and salvation in our hearts. He comes in as God himself and enters the human spirit, awakens our spirit to the life of God, and then lives within us. I know that's so elementary, it's so 101 theology, but man, it still amazes me to even speak those words. That the God of the universe comes down and enters into our spirit and sets up his dwelling in us. Can somebody shout amen? That's why Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Don't you know that now that there is no longer a temple in Jerusalem, the tabernacle is long gone, the whole system and paradigm of the Old Testament has passed away. God no longer is looking for a temple made with hands to dwell in, but now he's come into the very hearts of his own believers. Those washed in the blood now, when Jesus resurrected, or when Jesus died rather on the cross, the veil of the temple, that curtain that separated God's presence from the rest of the temple, that separated the holy place from the most holy place, that veil was torn in two, representing that now the Spirit of God was no longer contained in a room over the tabernacle through a system of priests and sacrifices, but now the Spirit of God was gone out into the very hearts of everyone who is washed in the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? So he says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As it is written, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is what the prophets longed for and saw. This is what angels had been anticipating. This is what the patriarchs of old would have loved to have seen, is the day that you and I live in now, when the Spirit of God has now come and dwelt and is dwelling in our hearts. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. And because he's in us, The Bible says in 1 John 4:2, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And now you have overcome the world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You have overcome the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is now living in you. And the power of the resurrected Jesus is now lived. That same power that raised him from the dead is now in the hearts of everyone in this room who believes in Jesus. Come on, raise your hand and say, greater is he within me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, give him a praise. Greater is he who is within you. And now because he is in you, he is working to bring forth good works. We often preach we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. But we are saved unto good works. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works. Now, notice with me in the book of Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes these words. He says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the Spirit, the manifested works that he produces in the heart of the believer now that he lives inside are these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the nine works, or nine fruits rather, of the Spirit that the Spirit brings into the life of the believer. So our job as Christians is to yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives, to yield to the leading and the growth trajectory that he takes us along, to yield to the voice of the Spirit. And as we do that, these fruits will continually grow in our lives. How many knows it takes time to grow fruit? It takes time to grow fruit. I planted some cherry trees when I lived in Camden on our property, and they never produced fruit. So don't ask me how to grow trees, amen? One had to have a partner, I think, and the partner died, and I never gave them another partner, and they just kind of stunted and never brought forth any kind of fruit. Fruit takes time to grow, though, and it takes several years to produce really mature, good fruit. That's why guys have vineyards, and they have these vines, these grapevines you see all over the place, and they build trellises for. They've been growing for years and years and years, and you have the apple trees, and yeah, this takes time. So it should be the case that as you serve the Lord for many years, you should be richer and deeper and sweeter and more gentle and more loving and more full of joy. I know God brings all of that when you get saved, but he brings it in seed form, and then it starts to grow and starts to produce in your life. So Christians shouldn't get old and mean. Come on, somebody. We should get sweeter as the day goes by. Hallelujah. We should get sweeter. We should get richer. That's why the older you get in the Lord, you never retire from his service. You become a wealth of wisdom and knowledge and experience and victories and overcoming the older you get. That's why the Bible says the older women should mentor the younger women. The older men should mentor the younger men. Why? Because they've been through something. You know, I went to preach somewhere up in the mountains of Virginia back, I'd say, almost 20 years ago. And I never had this happen to me in my life. I sat with the pastor who was younger than I was. I don't know by how much. But we're sitting there talking at the table one day, and he said, Pastor Hans, I'm so honored to have you, man, and I'm so glad you came because we need older guys like you and your wisdom. And it's the first time someone had ever said that to me, and I didn't say anything out loud, but I'm thinking, who you calling old, man? I am very young, thank you very much. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, say it. The older I get, the richer I'm going to get. The sweeter I'm going to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live a holy life. You know what Paul says at the end of this? He says in verse 23, against such there is no law. You don't need law if you're flowing in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. You don't need anybody to tell you not to sin if you're walking in the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came and was the fulfillment of the law. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it all. Now we're not under Old Testament law because we have a higher law that is the law of the Spirit. And now as we walk in love, if we all walked in love as God would like us to, we wouldn't need one state law, I don't think. Let me think about that. As long as it didn't involve speed limits, I think we would be okay. Well, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, listen, who do not walk according to the flesh, and this flesh is not bad. This is a creation of God. When Paul uses the term flesh, he's talking about that sin principle, that sinful nature in human beings. So he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the sinful nature, who are not obeying the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. For, listen to this, the law of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am now freed from those things that used to bind me. Why? Because I got the Holy Spirit within. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. One other thing about the Spirit within. Now that we have the Spirit within, we now have the helper. Jesus called him a helper. It's advocate in some Bibles. The word is parakletos in Greek. It's that one that comes alongside, para, and he's called Kletos to be alongside us and help us all the way, every day, every minute, every waking and sleeping hour we have to lead us into the plan of God for our lives, a life of holiness, to lead us into blessing and peace and victory in our lives if we will just learn to obey, listen, and flow with the Holy Spirit on the inside. You have, and I've preached about this, and I'm not going to roll through it all again today, but the greatest thing you have inside is the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. That when you walk somewhere and you get ready to speak something that may not be the best, you hear this. Hello. Maybe you shouldn't say that. Or when you encounter someone who does need a word from the Lord, you hear this, tell them this. And you start to listen to that voice and learn to obey that voice, and something begins to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the older I get, the more I trust what I see and hear than what I intellectually know. I know that sounds weird. But the more I'm trusting what I see and hear, because if I see and hear from the Holy Spirit, He reveals things that I couldn't know according to my natural knowledge. He starts giving me, this is when God puts the super on our natural. Come on, somebody. And it happened to me the other night. Dana and I were ministering in the altars in Orlando, Florida on Thursday night. And somebody wanted me to pray for this certain lady. And I go up to her and I just sense this lady's a preacher. This lady has got it. And I turn around and I said, does she preach? They're like, oh, you have no idea. I'm like, all right. So then I knew how to pray for the lady because God had already started showing me when I went up to pray for this lady. What was it? That's just one small tidbit and small thing of what God gives in abundance to us all. Come on, raise your right hand like you're in court. Come on, say it with me. Lord,
help me
to listen to the inward witness of your spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, that is such a powerful truth that the Holy Spirit is within. You know, we used to have these computer commercials, this Intel, was it Intel Inside? Well, we got Holy Spirit inside. That's greater than any computer chip, any AI system, any he's greater than all of it. Amen? You have a divine GPS. You have Rand McNally on steroids. Hallelujah. I use GPS. My mom uses Rand McNally. Hallelujah. And there's sometimes GPS has led me through parking lots and dirt roads that I wished I had. The old Rand McNally, amen? But we've got the Holy Spirit GPS living within us. Come on, say it one more time. He's inside. Leading and guiding. 24/7. 365. Somebody shout amen. The second aspect of the Holy Spirit's coming is that he comes also upon. He comes upon. Listen to these verses. Luke 24:49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise, talking about the Spirit, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry, this is after the resurrection, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Acts 8:14, Philip goes down to Samaria and preaches the gospel. The Bible says the Samaritans received the word of God and that many were healed and demons came out with shrieks. These people were getting saved. They were receiving the word and experiencing life transformation. So obviously the Holy Spirit was working. But the Bible says, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, then they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the apostles laid hands upon them and the Spirit came upon them. I want to make a distinction here between the Spirit in and the Spirit upon. Because what's happening here is not just them receiving the word. We already know they received the word. They received the word and life transformation happened. But now there is coming an empowerment, a soaking, or let me use this term, a baptism. A baptism of the Spirit. And what is baptizing? When you immerse something. The Greek term baptizo was used for ships when they would sink into the ocean. It's an immersion of the soul of man. The mind, the will, the emotions, the affections, the thinking, the everything now being immersed into the life of the Spirit. And now God has come upon the person and endued them with power to do supernatural acts. In Acts 10, Peter goes down and preaches to a Gentile named Cornelius, and his household heard the message of Jesus. And the Bible says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. They began speaking in tongues and praising God. Acts 19, Paul goes to the Ephesian believers, laid hands on them, and the Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So now there's a new dimension of the Spirit coming on these people. He's coming upon them, immersing them into the fullness. So listen, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. So when we come to know Jesus, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. But when he comes upon us in power, our relationship with him deepens, and it's like we walk through another door and we walk into the depths of the relationship with the Spirit. We walk into this immersion of the goodness of the Spirit. And then it brings several different things. I'm going to give you four before we pray. It becomes then a gateway to the supernatural spiritual gifts. When you're immersed in the Spirit and the Spirit comes upon you, or you're baptized in the Spirit, this is an open door to the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Because Paul talks about those gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says this. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. For there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And here it comes. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Here's the deal. The Spirit comes upon you and opens the door to the supernatural gifts. And then he can come upon you and use whatever gift he determines is needed for the hour. So when we walk in, people used to, you know, I know certain people flow in certain gifts, and I don't diminish that. But used to, we would think, well, this guy has this gift, and he was known for this certain gift. But, you know, I love what Wallace Heflin Jr. said years ago. He said, when you show up at a construction site, you want to bring your toolbox. And in that toolbox, you want to have a hammer and a saw, and you want to have a level, and you want to have all that you might need that the job would call for. And so when we show up with Holy Spirit living inside, we show up with the whole toolbox. And he can manifest through us. And may say, prophesy now over this person. Or he could show us a word of knowledge, or give us a word of knowledge. Do that, give that word of knowledge. Or he could say, give this message in unknown tongues. Go ahead. And the Spirit can determine what he wants in each setting. It's been my experience. Now, I've heard some say this is not necessarily the case, so I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but it is my experience after preaching for many years. I've been preaching for 35 years, and I've traveled the world, and I've preached, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of hours in revival meetings, and this is my experience, okay? The people who flow in the ninefold manifestation of the Spirit are almost always, if not always, those who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's those who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're not just saved. The Spirit has come upon them and manifested his power in their lives. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Now, let me clarify something, because this is where Spirit-filled churches are often criticized. So let me make a distinction here. When the Spirit comes upon, he brings gifts. How many know a gift doesn't take any time to receive? If you come up on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve night, whenever you receive gifts from your family, somebody says, oh, here's a gift. You're like, wow, come on, man. And you open it up, and immediately it's yours to use. You didn't have to plant it. You didn't have to water it. You didn't have to nurture it. You didn't have to till it. You didn't have to grow it. There's a difference between fruit and gifts. Come on, say this with me. Fruit grows, gifts flow. So what we want in our lives is a balance and a fullness of fruit and gifts. But sometimes you will see people, believe it or not, moving in manifestation gifts who maybe haven't developed the depth of the fruits of the Spirit in their lives that they need. And so sometimes someone can flow in a manifestation gift and have an issue going on in their life. Because we've often misjudged it and said, oh, this person speaks in tongues. Yeah, but I'm telling you what, their life's not perfect. Therefore, it isn't real. That's not true. Because I'm telling you what, Pentecostal charismatic people have some issues too. Well, I just said that. Hey, hallelujah. They can have some issues too, just like everybody else. Amen? It doesn't mean they've been perfected in character. That's what we want. We want deep, rich fruit in the Christian's life and flowing in the power, supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. But I will say also, we don't want just this rich fruit but not believe in any of the manifestations of the Spirit and shut it down because we've had bad examples in the past. We want both. And listen, whatever you hear in the news media, I know in the last few weeks there have been terrible things coming out about churches, and it hurts my heart, man, to the bone. Some of these places I've been personally and met staff and different things, but I'm telling you, don't let it deter you. Don't let it sway you from the real. Don't let it sway you from the real. Maybe you found out your preacher hero really had some cracks in his life, even though he was extremely talented. That doesn't negate the fact that God is still real. He still moves through common people. He still does the supernatural. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, say it again. Fruit grows, gifts flow. Second thing the Spirit upon brings is he brings the supernatural power for praying. Now that you're baptized in the Spirit, you have access to praying in unknown tongues. And when you pray in unknown tongues, you're dialing up heaven directly. You're dialing up heaven directly, and you're praying directly, Spirit praying through you, the perfect will of God. He reads all of your life. He knows all of your deal. He knows all of your wants and all of your faults and all of your issues, and he's praying the perfect will of God back to the Father. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Kenneth Hagin told this story. He said an English missionary to Africa was home on leave speaking at a missionary conference when a woman asked if he kept a diary. And he replied that he did. And she began to relate to him, well, 2 years ago, I was awakened in the middle of the night with a burden to pray. She said, I got out of my bed and was speaking in tongues before I got down on my knees. And for an hour, I prayed in tongues, and it seemed as if I were wrestling. And when I finished praying, I had a vision. I saw you in a grass hut, surrounded by natives. You were sick and you died. I saw the natives pull a sheet over your head and walk sadly out of the hut. And then suddenly you came out of that hut and stood in their midst, and all the natives began to rejoice. The missionary asked the woman if she kept a diary and requested she bring it that afternoon. They compared their diaries, and making allowances for the time differences between England and Africa, they discovered that the time of the woman's prayer burden exactly coincided with the time when the missionary was sick with a deadly fever. His partner was away, and he was alone with the natives, and things happened just as this lady had seen in a vision. The missionary died. The natives saw him die, pulled a sheet over his head, and then he rose up suddenly well because of the Spirit of God. Listen, when you're praying in the Spirit, it isn't just gibberish. It's the Holy Spirit coming and speaking unintelligible words out of our spirit. And we start to pray according to the Holy Spirit, who is God and tapped into the mind of the Father. And he knows all of our wants, no matter where we are in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Third thing is he brings a key to supernatural power. It's the key to open the door to supernatural power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. That term power is a Greek word, dunamis. The etymology of it is today we get our word dynamic or dynamite from it. And really, it often refers to miracle working power. It often refers to miracle working power. It's used in Mark chapter 6 and verse 2 when the Bible says when the Sabbath had come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many people heard him and were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? And that wisdom is this which is given him, and such mighty works are performed by his hands, or dunamis are performed by his hands. He worked miracles. So when you're baptized in the Spirit and endued with power and the Spirit comes upon you, there it's a key to operating in the supernatural. In Brazil, a recent study found that almost half of the female converts to Christianity and roughly a quarter of the male converts came into the conversion experience because of a sickness in their lives. In local Pentecostal churches in Brazil, they faced all kinds of maladies of poverty, from worms and parasites to dehydration and undernourishment, from snake bite to ovarian cancer. And a researcher researching the move of God among the Pentecostal Brazilian churches said the typical Pentecostal convert was someone who, quote, has restored the home, holds the Bible fiercely in his hand, and finds in the Holy Spirit the ecstatic lover of his soul and healer of his body. That they had come into church because of a healing that had happened into their lives. Right. Do you know right now in Muslim countries, we're seeing tremendous revival happen in Afghanistan, in Iran, and other Muslim countries. Approximately 200 Muslims in Gaza recently came to Christ after they saw Jesus in visions and dreams. And after consulting each other, they realized they shared the same experience. That they had seen Jesus in dreams. The founder of a ministry called Transform Iran said he's seen in Iran recently people coming to faith in Jesus because of dreams and visions. Supernatural.
That's right.
Said believers will say, I saw a vision of a man in a white robe with a cross on his shoulder or on his heart. And he says, I'm Jesus. And they can't stop talking about it. The founder of this ministry says in the Middle East, people see visions. In the Western understanding, we want everything tangible, verifiable, and accountable. They've seen over 100,000 people become followers of Christ. And he says at any gathering of Iranians or Afghan Christians, if you say, how many of you have seen dreams that have been touched, if not radically transformed by a vision? He said 90% will raise their hands. But if you ask a church in Wisconsin or in Maryland or Boston, how many will have come to Christ through a dream? They might answer, as this guy says, what is a dream? God is doing supernatural things all over the world, and I want all of the ammo, all of the power that I can get into my life. I want that relationship with the Holy Spirit so I can walk in dreams and visions and supernatural ministry. Is anybody in this church this morning? Can you shout hallelujah? Come on, can you raise your hand and say, Lord, let me see into the spirit realm. Are y'all receiving anything from this morning? This is good. This is good stuff. Hallelujah. Preach on, Brother Hans. One last thing. When the Spirit comes upon you, He opens up the door to supernatural worship. Because Paul said in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one, then he talks about worship. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My theological mentor, a guy named J. Rodman Williams, who was a charismatic Presbyterian, said Pentecostal and charismatic worship has always been known for spontaneity. We'll say it again to this church over here. Hallelujah. The Pentecostal charismatic worship has always been known for spontaneity. That means we walk in and we have a worship set, we have a sermon, we have order, yes, and we should have order. But there's always this thing in the air that we never know quite what's going to happen. And that's super cool. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. We never quite know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of being in a Holy Ghost church. Why? Because we're saying, Lord, we have a plan and we think we've heard from you. But you know what? We always yield our plans to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we want you to have your way right now at 10:17 on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. No, but I've got KFC on the brain. KFC's going to be there later. Hallelujah. Right now it's time to get the Holy Spirit on the brain. Yeah, but I've got a pot roast at home. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. We come to church and we want to lay all that stuff aside and push into worship and let God have his way. Because it isn't about preference. You know, so many people in America get stuck on, well, I like this church and I don't like this church. And it's a smorgasbord of what we want to pick and choose. I'm done with that. I just want to flow in the Spirit, see God move. I don't want to come to church and just check off the boxes and we heard a nice little word and we can go on. No, we come for to meet, as the Brazilian said, the ecstatic lover of our soul. The one who comes and encounters us and makes it possible to get through another week with victory and joy in our hearts. Hallelujah. Who still heals the sick and raises the dead, gives prophetic words, who still encourages, who still does works that we can't wrap our minds around. He still makes a way where there is no way. Still pays off debts supernaturally. He still raises people from the dead. He still does all that kind of stuff because we have the supernatural God living in us, empowering us and coming upon us that we can do the works of God. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Let me give you a bonus. Overtime bonus, hallelujah. He also comes to give us supernatural power to witness. Everybody should be a witness. Everyone should witness. But when the Spirit comes upon you, you tap into that supernatural voice, that supernatural leading of the Holy Ghost. That you can say, you know, I think we need to go to Walmart because I saw a guy when I was praying dressed in a blue shirt, wearing orange tennis shoes, and I need to talk to him. Now, if you don't believe that stuff happens, wave at us, Erica. Just talk to this lady. Talk to me and Dana. We go out in the streets, and when we've done that, we ask the Holy Spirit, you lead us now. Yes, we can witness. Yes, we know how to witness to people. Yes, we can love people. Yes, we can pray for people. But I'm telling you, when the super is placed on our natural, he starts giving you insight. And he starts giving you the secrets of a person's heart that you can get right in and minister to them in supernatural ways. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together and give the Lord a praise in here this morning. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for listening to me. If you would stand with me, we're going to pray right now. And I would love for all the altar ministers to come right now to the altar with me. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit down in this morning, and we're going to take some time and we're going to pray for anyone who wants the Spirit to come upon them. First of all, I'm going to give a salvation prayer here, an altar call for salvation. Because if you're not serving the Lord and you've never committed your life to Christ, then you got to get that taken care of first. And then after that, we're going to pray that the Spirit comes upon you and God comes upon you in power. Now, here's the deal. Let me just give me a few minutes here. And I don't want anyone to leave, okay? I want y'all to stay in this. Give us a few minutes here. Give the Lord a few minutes here. And here's the deal. Some people have so many things in their minds or bad experiences from the past or what. Wipe all of that away. Wipe it all away. You know, to be filled with the Spirit, I have to be caught up. I have to have this out-of-body experience. I have to see angels and Moses coming with the tablets. And no, God's going to come on your natural with his super. I'm on this morning, amen? He's going to put the super on it. So when hands are laid upon you, I want you to begin to speak out what God gives you. And here's the deal. It's going to be your voice. It's going to be your lips. It's going to be your tongue. But God's going to give you the inspiration. He's going to give you the unction to speak out what he gives you. Amen? I remember, I don't tell this very much, but I remember one night I was playing guitar in a worship service. And after that service, I went in the back room. We had a little Sunday school room behind the platform. And we would put our guitar cases back there. And I was going to set my guitar case in the guitar case. And I was just so overflowing with the Spirit of the Lord. And I was like, hallelujah. And I started to lose it. And I started to lose the hallelujah. It started to get into something else. And I stopped because I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't want to be fake. I didn't want it to be some demonic spirit. I didn't want it to be my head. I didn't want it to be somebody else's influence. La, 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 la. So I went home and I went to Mark 16 and I started reading. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. So you know what happened? I knelt down and I began to pray and I put my everything into it and absolutely nothing happened. I got up and read it again, got down and prayed again, and I went through this exercise I don't know how many times until a syllable or two came off my lips that wasn't English. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna let this go. I'm putting all this other doubts and fears and experience aside, and I let it go, and all of a sudden a river of language. River. God's going to give you a river. And actually what happens, I went to church. I took that experience because I was so scared. I went to church. My pastor laid hands on me and I hit the floor and a river started flowing out of me. Because I just like, boom, it's there. Huh? I started dreaming. I was dreaming of speaking in tongues. And I've had many people share that experience with me too. Before they were baptized in the Spirit, they started dreaming of it. Amen? So you said, are you actually a modern 21st century preacher taking a Sunday morning to preach on the baptism in the Spirit? Yes. Hey, it's such an honor to have you join us for service. I pray the word was a blessing to you, and I pray you avail yourselves to the resources we have online. And if you're ever in the Elizabeth City area, Outer Banks or Tidewater, Virginia, make the drive. Come visit us one Sunday. We would love to welcome you here, and you can experience this yourself. As one man used to say, can't be explained, can only be experienced. There's some truth into that. Anyhow, thank you for watching. I pray the Lord will bless you and that you grow in your faith and fulfill the call that God has on your life. We here at Fountain of Life love you.